The Diddler. I told y'all over the next week and a half that we're going to be talking about the Diddler, right? Yeah, we got to do it. We got to do it. We got to go into it. Law and something, Law and Crime YouTube channel, shout out to them. They did a compilation, so to speak, of all of the people over the years, or some of the people over the years, that's been exposing Diddy, and we maybe just didn't pay attention to it. Okay, so... y'all crazy. And we maybe not have paid attention to it. So I did some soul searching. I did some soul searching. And what I found was that I said, Anton, let me question you. Because I always tell people to point, look in the mirror when you're pointing a finger. Look in the mirror when you're pointing a finger. Uh-oh, hold on, y'all. We'll get there. Hey, Tyrell Foote says, we responded. We're gonna get to him shortly. Right after this, I'll show you guys what else he sent me. I said, Anton, maybe I'm wrong about the Diddler. Maybe I'm wrong and I'm on the wrong side of history here. Because I've stood on the idea that I'm not really a fan of Diddy at all. I think that he's put out some really great stuff throughout the years. I really enjoy making a band when he made all of the members walk to go get that cheesecake. I said, this is the funniest junk I ever seen in my entire life. But I said, maybe I'm wrong about the idea that we should wait and everybody should have due process. Everybody should have due process. No? Everybody shouldn't have due process? Maybe there are some people that we should just convict in a court of public opinion and just throw them under the bus. So I thought that this Law and Crime channel, shout out to Law and Crime, did a good job, possibly, of putting together a compilation of the people that was giving us all of the red flags before that. So let me hold myself accountable and be open to the possibility that I'm wrong, and let's get to it.
Hip-hop legend and media mogul Sean Diddy Combs has seemingly remained untouchable for years. And now the potential downfall of his empire and legacy has taken the hip-hop community by storm. But was the writing always on the wall for Diddy's alleged behavior? Several celebrities have casually spoken out about his so-called parties, which lawsuits have alleged to be breeding grounds for sex assault and trafficking. Clues of what was allegedly behind the curtain began to emerge in November when Diddy's former girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, sued the mogul in federal court on allegations of rape and a decade-long pattern of physical and sexual abuse. The singer, who was previously signed to Diddy's Bad Boy Records, claimed the rapper was controlling of every aspect of her life, including where she lived, what she wore, and even her medical records. The suit alleged several instances of abuse committed by Diddy, including battery, rape, and forcing her to have sex with male sex workers. The suit also claims Diddy used intimidation to control the R&B singer, including allegedly having someone blow up another rapper's car after Diddy learned he was interested in romantically pursuing Cassie when they were on a break period from their relationship.
Do y'all consider that love? Love in this club. Girl, I love you so much. I will go after this dude that tried to talk to you. Why Kid Cudi trying to talk to Cassie if everybody knew that Cassie was rocking with Diddy? Y'all don't consider that love? I will blow up a deuce. If you ever talk to somebody else, I will blow up another guy's car. Doof. Just like in Casino. Y'all don't consider that love? All right, never mind. Let's just continue.
Suit also alleges Diddy became violent, beating Cassie multiple times each year. In one instance, Diddy allegedly pushed her into a car, then proceeded to kick her in the face repeatedly. In another claim, an intoxicated Diddy allegedly gave Cassie a black eye after she tried to leave a hotel room. The hotel security camera footage captured the incident, but Diddy allegedly bought it off for $50,000. Those weren't the only instances of alleged intimidation. The suit claims Diddy dangled Cassie's friend over a 17-story balcony and asked her to carry a gun in her purse. According to the suit, Cassie never went to the police and tried to leave their relationship multiple times, but was too afraid. The suit stated several Bad Boy Records employees turned a blind eye to the physical abuse and beatings Cassie allegedly endured, but no one spoke out in fear of their boss. According to the suit, Diddy supplied Cassie with different drugs, including ecstasy and ketamine. The suit claimed Cassie suffered from memory loss from the constant substance abuse during her relationship with Diddy. The documents also say her MRI results were sent directly to Diddy. The suit was ultimately settled a day after it was filed for an undisclosed amount. When Diddy's Los Angeles and Miami homes were raided by Homeland Security this week, the singer's attorney released a statement saying, quote, "We will always support law enforcement when it seeks to prosecute those that have violated the law. Hopefully, this is the beginning of a process that will hold Mr. Combs responsible for his depraved conduct." It wasn't the only instance a former girlfriend of Diddy's came forward alleging instances of abuse. Diddy's ex-girlfriend Gina Hunn said in a 2019 interview with controversial blogger Tasha Kay that Diddy allegedly stomped on her stomach and punched her in the head during one incident. Hunn reportedly dated Diddy when he and Cassie were on and off. In the interview, she said she pleaded with Diddy to stop hitting her and said she couldn't breathe after he stomped on her stomach. Just like Cassie, she alleges Diddy was mentally, emotionally, and physically abusive during their time together and claimed Diddy would compare she and Cassie, saying Hunn is the bad one and Cassie is the good one. Hunn did not take legal action against Diddy. However, her interview resurfaced around the web when Cassie filed her lawsuit against Diddy. And after this week's raid,
So here's my question. Here's one thing that I'm always asking. How long have Diddy been in power? Since the early 90s? See, let's say 94. Let's assume 94 for the sake of conversation, all right? I know it was before that. 94, 2004, 2014. So Diddy, for three decades have been in power. Where are any of these police reports? Nobody told their parents, told the police, no, nothing that. Y'all just sat there, took your L, and just went home. And I'm not saying that it didn't happen. It could have happened. But here's my question. Where are the police reports? Where's the evidence? Is it any pictures? Is it any police reports? Is it anything? Nothing. So for three decades, nobody went to the police. Nobody said nothing. Nobody ever filed nothing or said anything. Is video evidence? I can't wait till the video evidence come out too. I'm interested in seeing it. I want to see the pictures. How am I defending? Listen. Me asking questions is not defending anybody. Get out of your emotions and listen to what I'm saying. I'm asking questions and I'm asking, where are the people where is it at? That's all I'm asking. Hey, chat, can y'all do me a favor? I'll ask y'all in a minute. Let's keep going.
Celebrity interviews are also resurfacing and revealing more about Diddy's alleged conduct. In 2016, singer Usher, who had previously lived with Diddy when he was a teenager, told radio personality Howard Stern very curious things took place at Diddy's so-called Puffy Flavor Camp. Usher, who was around 13 at the time, had moved to New York City and
Puffy
lived
Flavor
with Diddy.
Camp
he was
is
going
wild.
By Puff
I'll tell
Daddy
you, I'll give you that
a
one.
Year. The idea to live with Diddy came from L.A. Reid, who was Usher's manager. Usher said he went to live with Diddy for a chance to see the lifestyle and referred to the time period as a wild and crazy time in the 90s. And in a 2004 interview with Rolling Stone, Usher was quoted as saying, "Puff introduced me to a totally different set of stuff, sex specifically. Sex is so hot in the industry. There was always girls around. You'd open a door and see somebody doing it or several people in a room having an orgy. You never know what's going to happen." Mm. But in 2016, when Stern asked whether Puffy's place was filled with chicks and orging nonstop, Usher responded, "Not really. It was curious and he got a chance to see things but didn't know if he could indulge and understand what he was even looking at." Usher said very curious things took place there that he didn't necessarily understand. As for if it would be a place Usher would consider sending his children to, This is what he had to say.
14 years old. You're a dad now. Would you ever send your kid to Puffy Camp?
Hell no.
Meanwhile, a member of a girl group.
So Usher was like, yo, I didn't see nothing, but, you know, it was some wild stuff that was happening out here.
Previously found.
So now we're going to go over to the Danity Kane chick.
Founded and managed by Diddy, also spoke out after Diddy's homes were raided by federal agents. On Monday, Aubrey O'Day, who was a part of the group Danity Kane, shared a statement about Combs after the raid saying, quote, what you sow, you shall reap. In December 2022, O'Day said she was fired from Danity Kane in 2008 because she wasn't willing to do what was expected of her, not talent-wise, but in other areas. She said she wasn't the only girl that was in those types of positions. This past September, Diddy announced his plans to reassign publishing rights to select Bad Boy Records artists, including O'Day's group Danity Kane. But O'Day claimed Diddy's deal came with strings attached, those strings being non-disclosure agreements, also known as NDAs, that the artist had to sign. O'Day said the NDA agreement included the artist would not disparage Puff, Bad Boy, Janice Combs, Diddy's mother, Justin Combs Music, EMI Publishing, or Sony ever in public. And despite Diddy presenting the music group Danity Kane with their publishing rights, O'Day said that doesn't equal more money for the group, saying the deal would only bring her less than $1,000 in royalties. Another former artist of Diddy also reacted to this week's raid of Diddy's homes. Rapper Mace called the raid big payback and said it was amazing it happened on the anniversary of Life After.
Let me say this. The Aubrey O'Day chick, I don't see anything from her argument that actually justifies anything. Some of the other people, yeah, possibly. The Aubrey O'Day chick, I don't see it. Like, I'm not following. It's not resonating with me as far as saying that, oh my gosh, yeah. You know, she like, nothing that she said actually was relevant as far as saying that, okay, yeah, we need to go ahead and convict him and throw him under the bus. Not, she just sounded like a disgruntled person as she got fired from Danity Kane. She never said that he did anything in particular that was sexual. She just sounded like she a little pissed off. But I'm going to try to be objective about this whole thing.
After Death, which was the last album posthumously released by Diddy's best friend, Notorious B.I.G. Mace and Diddy have a long and embattled history. Mace was previously signed to Bad Boy Records in the 90s and the early 2000s. He gave his publishing rights to Diddy for $20,000. When he attempted to get his catalog back years later, he publicly slammed Diddy when the mogul turned down Mace's offer to buy back his publishing for $2 million. Diddy ultimately gave the publishing rights back to Mace. Mace, who had previously worked with Diddy on hits such as Can't Nobody Hold Me Down and Mo Money Mo Problems, before going on to have a successful solo career, said he escaped Diddy. During his podcast, which he hosts with fellow rapper Cameron, he seemingly referred to the serious allegations against...
I think this chick is reading. I think she got to be reading. Look at how she called Cameron. It's Cameron or Cam. You don't call him Cameron.
Before going on to have a successful solo career, said he escaped Diddy. During his podcast, which he hosts with fellow rapper Cameron, he seemingly referred.
See, and this is why I don't take a lot of this stuff serious, right? Because this is just a compilation of a bunch of people that's saying a bunch of stuff. But they reading it based off of what was produced. This doesn't align with anything, in my opinion. Somebody put together a bunch of compilation videos. It don't even. Cameron? Come on, man. This literally could be. What'd y'all say? It's AI?
To the serious allegations against Diddy, saying everything now that we see playing out was all the things I escaped. Meanwhile, rapper 50 Cent taunted Diddy on Instagram after the feds raided his homes. The two have been feuding since the early 2000s. 50 Cent, whose real name is Curtis Jackson, wrote, quote, now it's not Diddy do it, it's Diddy done. They don't come like that unless they got a case. The beef between the two seemingly dates back to 2006 when 50...
Yeah, but then at the same time, I just read about... 50 getting into it with his new baby mama the same way that he got into it with the old baby mama. If we just gonna be real, look, man, I literally just looked at the new baby mama What I guess he got a kid. What's his name? Whatever. I don't want to name the kid name because that ain't what we having a conversation about. But apparently, the new baby mama, once she broke up or once she was no longer talking to 50, allegedly went with Diddy. And so Diddy was smashing the baby mama that he got a kid with. And so now he called her a sex worker, I heard. And then she went back and said, listen, Fifth, you ain't even seen your kid but 10 times in 2 years or some crap like that. And so you the same deadbeat dad that the old baby mom was saying. And so when we take and we start having conversations and looking at it holistically, can we also say that some people may be a little bit bitter, or maybe they fighting, you know what I'm saying, getting mad at the fact that you bust down a chick? Or is it really an issue that you really experienced with this person to where you can say, yeah, he deserved to be in jail? Now, we all know that 50 is lifetime. Once he don't like you, he don't like you for life. Man, listen, 50 be talking about Lloyd Banks. And Lloyd Banks, to my experience, ain't never, ever said nothing back to 50. But he be going in on Lloyd Banks. Diddy had her first? Oh, okay. 50 was a good dad. His son is lazy. We're not talking about the older kid. We talking about the newer kid. We talking about the last chick that he had a baby with. And so, you know, his beef with Diddy apparently don't got nothing to do with whether or not he actually did anything wrong when it came to the allegations. You're right, Yakar. All of these people is just like, they act just like they in high school. They act just like they're in high school. They get petty. They go back and forth on Instagram and all of this stuff. And so, you know, once then now everybody, 50 exposed him. Mason, no, Mason had business dealings and Mace sold his publishing. And so he wanted to get his publishing back. And so Mace may be feeling some type of way because of how the career went or how he felt like the business should have gone with 50. Does that have anything to do with, I've never seen Mace say that 50 did anything salacious as far as with girls or anything like that. It's silly. You're right, Osriel. It's childish. It's absolutely positively childish. So, you know, I'm going to be open and I'm always going to try to hold myself accountable and see and try to figure out, you know, where the beef is. And if people really, I ain't say that Mace was clout chasing. I'm saying that this don't have nothing to do with the allegations that he's being accused of that everybody is saying that he should go to jail based off of. That's all I'm saying, all right? But I'm going to be objective and we're going to go from there.